Pretty soon, LaLa.com is going to be exactly like piranhas at Opry Mills. Non-existent. This is episode 18 of the Nashville Tech Feed.
To the Batmobile.
Just like a crazy person.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
You're excited. Feeling simple.
You have some mighty interesting people online.
Welcome back to the Nashville Tech Feed. I'm Dave, your host. This is episode number 18, maybe 17. No, 18. 17 was the big flood that floated away. This week we are back on tech, and we have two profound show hosts, or show guest hosts. I don't know. First one, as always, Lucas Hendrickson.
Greetings, fellow land mammals. How's everybody doing after the... After the week that was, that kind of got away from us, I feel like, in a lot of ways. It did for me. I'm still trying to get back on track, but that's been like the last decade for me, so it's really nothing different.
Can you do the opposite, and instead of getting your sea legs, can you get your land legs back?
I think that's probably what a lot of people are in the midst of doing right now, and... fortunately, you know, I escaped much of nature's wrath, but we will continue to forge ahead here in the lovely Music City, hopefully drier and safer, at least for the time being. We shall see.
Well, hopefully drier, even though it's supposed to rain for the next 5 days, like lightly. But
that's true. I had a little little apprehension yesterday morning when I saw that it was starting to rain again. So I'm like, please, no. We had a great weekend. The temperatures were great. You know, people were able to get out and help, you know, continue the clearing out process of the aftermath of the flood. But you know, now this week we're a little under the gun again. So let's hope we can clear that out and continue to do that kind of work.
Hopefully, it won't happen. Our other show host is the one and the only, which I say all the time, Paul Shatskin. How are you doing, Paul?
Good evening.
Welcome back.
Oh, is it my turn to speak? I'm sorry, I was just playing with my iPad.
Is it 3G?
Not yet.
Oh, see? Not as cool as the rest of us.
I was telling Lucas, a second one came that I had dedicated for Anne just before the weekend. She was out of town. Long story short, we decided we're going to have two. One should be a 3G. I went down to the Apple store on Tuesday and reserved one. That was a week ago, and they have not gotten any in.
Hmm.
So there appears to be a shortage of 3G iPads.
Well, I was reading online that the overseas values on eBay were an average of $500 higher than what you paid for your 3... Or it's not. I don't know if it was the 3G or if it was the non-3G, but you could sell it on eBay and maybe buy one. I don't know. Maybe.
I think it'd have to be the Wi-Fi model right now because the 3G models haven't been released anywhere else in the world yet.
Well,
so,
they're GSM, and they use the micro SIM card. So if you want to like jailbreak your iPad here and put it on T-Mobile, you actually have to saw and cut your SIM card down to the size of a micro SIM card to fit in your jailbroken iPad.
Okay, I just want Apple to call me and tell me that the one that I ordered is in, because this is all much too complicated for me.
Yeah, and I don't see you jailbreaking your iPad, to be honest.
I don't think that's in the future. Nope.
It's been done though.
Oh yeah,
they've accomplished it. What good is it going to do right now? I don't know, but
that's interesting that you say they're selling for a premium on eBay. And it's tempting, but I know the minute that I do something else, then the one that we've ordered will show up. So I'll just be patient.
Well, patience is a virtue we all should have.
How do y'all feel about the confirmation today that the exclusivity deal for the iPhone will indeed run through 2012 with our friends? I use that term loosely, at AT&T.
I would say that's a source of some disappointment.
Lucas, I've got one thing to say.
Yeah, I my one comment that I might make tonight about the flood situation was that once our power and cable went down out here in West Bumfrack, once all those utilities went to the wayside, my iPhone with my 3G connection was the only communications that I had with the outside world. And each time I turned it on, it would go from 3G to E to nothing.
Ooh.
And the communications out here were very poor, and I was very disappointed in AT&T throughout the course of the weekend. And I wasn't able to get things, but it was a very frustrating experience.
Sure.
Of course, again, then you have to put things into context. It was not nearly as frustrating as having your entire home float away would be.
Very true.
So I will stop whining now.
Will you please stop whining, Paul? We're sick of it.
Yeah.
Well, since we're already...
How would you know it was me?
Well, since we're already on the Apple topic and the evil empire of AT&T, I have to play this.
You get such joy of playing that particular soundbite.
Either for you or for
me,
AT&T.
It's multi-purpose. For me, for Microsoft, for AT&T. And if, you know, if we continue to go down this path, our friends at Apple as well, in the case of our favorite free streaming music site that's getting ready to go dark.
Which is the topic of tonight. Good segue.
I'm trying the segues.
Yeah, well, I should probably tell everybody that you can get all the show notes at NashvilleTechFeed.com. And
they're fascinating. Run right over.
All one. Real quick also. Lucas, guess how many comments and phone voicemails we got?
I couldn't even begin to guess. It's into the six digits, isn't it?
Six digits of zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stroke.
Well, why don't you then tell the people how they could reach out to us?
I could do that
should they so choose.
If I knew my own phone number.
Jesus.
Wow. We're on top of things tonight here at the Nashville Tech Feed. Well, I think it's mainly because we're so we're overwhelmed with grief
about
the impending
death of Lala.
Of Lala.com.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the number, real quick. If you want to leave a voicemail for us, and we will play it because you will probably be the only one leaving a voicemail. It is 615-280-0505.
That number once again.
615-280-0505. And that is not toll-free. So if you're on some ancient phone that has no long distance, you have to pay the long distance. I'm sorry.
I think that explains it, Dave. I'm pretty sure most of our listenership is in, like, Scandinavia, the lowlands, and, you know, they just can't afford the call.
Here's just
but
a
you
really,
know they're listening.
Here's a really quick tangent. I was driving away from Belmont University yesterday, having given my final yesterday afternoon, and... seeing all these, you know, all these students pack up and leave, and thinking back to my own collegiate experience, where, you know, many a long distance relationship was just disintegrated over the summer because it couldn't afford the long distance charges at the time. Kids don't have to deal with that these days. They've got 18,000 ways they can communicate with each other long distance, including phone calls, which they don't do. You'd think that they could manage a long distance relationship, but I can almost guarantee you. Kids, they never work. So just it was an interesting kind of reach back into my own past yesterday when I was driving away.
Well, you could even use Skype. I mean, come on, we're doing this for free.
Yeah.
All right, so getting back to the topic. Lala.com was purchased by Apple Inc. And they're not computer anymore.
They're not a computer company anymore.
And the trends are they're not going to be even a computer laptop-like company anymore, but that's another topic for another time. Lala.com. One of the things I've been seeing on the internet is a lot of people have been saying when they're writing about the demise of Lala is Lala is the most amazing music site that you've never heard of. And
that's probably true
for
most
people.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I don't run into too many people who, when I mention Lala, just jump right in with any degree of familiarity. I have to explain the whole thing to them from the ground up. So,
well, Paul, why don't you?
I usually preface my remarks or conclude them by saying, "I've just changed your life." now I guess their lives are all going to have to change back.
You've changed it until the end of this month.
Until the end of this month, right? Yeah.
Well, actually, they can't sign up anymore. They've blocked people signing up. So
you've taunted them with life change to the end of the month.
And Paul, what's the 50,000 foot overview for our listeners? All 10 of them, 5 of them. Okay, 1 of them.
Hey.
I know one person that listened to the show, and if she's listening right now, call up and leave us a voicemail at, what's the number? 615-280-580-0505,
and I don't even have it written down in front of me.
Well, see, I got that number so I could remember it, and I can't remember it. So coming back, Lala.com, Paul, 50,000-foot overview.
Lala.com is the entire library that iTunes has. Except that unlike iTunes, where you can only listen to 30-second clips of music that you want to hear for the first time, at Lala you can hear everything in its entirety the first time for free. So it becomes a vast music discovery site. You read about something, you hear about something, you no longer have to wonder. You can go to Lala.com and hear it and decide for yourself if that's something that you want to hear again. At the point where you decide that you want to hear it again, you purchase what amounts to access to that music without actually downloading it to your own hard drive, but you can have access and listen to it as much as you want from Lala's servers for a dime a track. So, or you can purchase an MP3 from Lala if that's what you want to do, but you have suddenly access to all the music that you would ever want to listen to, and you've only paid a dime a track or a dollar an album for the entire catalog. The other feature that which I found less appealing was what they called the music mover, where you could, in effect, take your own digital music collection, the many gigabytes of music that you already have stored on your hard drive, and you could upload it to Lala's servers so that you then had access to the music that you already own from whatever location you happen to be in, where you have a laptop and a browser. You can then have access to your music without having to cart the entire collection around with you. That's the essential details of how Lala worked. Lucas, you got anything to add?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. You and I both wrote rather lengthy tribute pieces, I guess is the best way to call them.
Postmortems. Eulogies.
Yes. I'm expecting the Irish wake at some point at the end of the month. But I agree. My thing that I think Apple should focus on carrying forward. And I think we all think they're going to do something, and we'll talk about that in a second. Is that idea of play once for free?
You really think they're going to keep that going?
I don't know. I think they should. I think they will generate more, whatever, be it full track, full download sales, or if they do a version of the web track functionality in whatever the next iteration of iTunes is going to be, then I think that's an incredibly important part of that piece. The algorithm gathering 30 seconds of a track and hoping that that's enough to entice a user to pay 10 cents, 89 cents, 99 cents, $1.29 is that era is over. It's been over. It never should have started in the first place.
Where iTunes fails, that Lala succeeds enormously is as a music discovery function.
Yes.
If, like I say, if you hear about something and you want to hear it for yourself, Lala was the place to do it, and it opened up for me vast horizons. I never would have, for example, listened to Owl City had I not been able to go to Lala and add that to my collection there.
Sure.
Listened to it once, liked it, paid the buck, and listened to it as much as I wanted again after that. iTunes has no function. It's anything like that, because all you can get are 30-second clips, and for years I have reviled at 30-second clips because there's just, you cannot get a taste for something in 30 seconds. If 30 seconds was enough to get an appreciation for something that you're hearing for the first time, then the radio would be filled with 30-second clips. Sure. There's a reason why they play whole songs.
Actually, Jack FM does play 30-second clips, or very short, what, half-second clips of a bunch of songs you know, so it makes a station sound like a station that you want to listen to.
But in the case of a Jack FM, where they are counting on the familiarity of songs from, you know, decades ago, that's fine. From a promotional standpoint, that's perfect. But if you are trying to get a feel for something that's brand new, Owl City is a great example of that. The XX, you know, a lot of Nashville artists were able to make their way onto La La. You know, it was, for me as a music journalist, it was a fantastic discovery tool. Not only for stuff that was brand new, but also catalog stuff. Just if I was trying to write an overview of an artist's career, I could go, if it wasn't stuff that I didn't already have, then I could go and sample from, you know, sample in entire tracks or entire records even.
Oh,
from,
it was a real long tail thing, because yeah, it had enormous back catalog.
Well,
yeah, so and they're, you know, they had all the licenses in place. From the majors and the minors, and a very, very deep catalog.
That's an important point, which actually has some bearing on what iTunes or Apple will be able to do with the acquisition of La La, because I do recall reading at the time of the acquisition that those licenses were not transferable.
Correct.
If La La was acquired by another company, there was a provision in their licenses that concluded those licenses, rather than transferring them to the new owner. So that may be one of the issues that iTunes finds itself facing, is that it has to go back to the content providers to renegotiate those licenses. And now we're kind of in the second generation of iTunes, where it's held in some suspicion by some of the major content providers, the major labels, because it's become such a dominant force. So they may be driving a much harder bargain than the kind of bargain that La La was able to get when they were just setting up as a startup.
Well,
but you also have to think that the labels and the RIAA and whoever else is going to be involved in this, in the overarching discussion of this, has to know that Apple is going to do some new iteration, some new functionality, be it in the cloud as has been, you know, talked about. But surely those things are already done, if not close to being done. Don't you think?
I do, yeah. I saw some speculation last week, I think, that maybe there would be an announcement in the first week of June at the Worldwide Developers Conference, which is the next big event for Apple. And I guess they've announced their iPhone iterations at the Worldwide Developers Conference. Mm-hmm. And that's only a week after the scheduled closure of LaLa.com.
Sure.
So that would make some sense as a segue. And, yeah, I don't know how long it takes to develop something like this, to integrate a new platform like La La into an existing platform like iTunes, so that the functionality of La La, the cloud functionality, for example, is built in, or the subscription service is built in. I would think that I can't ever make the distinction in my own mind between my actual objective assessment of the circumstances and my very wishful thinking.
Well,
because I want it yesterday.
Sure.
Well, coming back to the original purpose of La La, it seems like just you guys dig more into the discovery functions. And one of the things I liked La La for was that I could take my music library anywhere with me. So if I was at work, I didn't have to worry about loading on my computer or having... It was, like Paul has always said, the celestial jukebox. The discovery function, as in I can listen to an entire song before I decide to purchase it or purchase a web version, was the second big feature I liked. The recommendations, where if I saw Paul playing a song and it looked interesting to me, I could listen to it. And I think that's another aspect of the service, is that it is that celestial jukebox with bonus features of social integration.
Well, I thought La La was an interesting iteration of the celestial jukebox concept, because you had access to the entire library, but you didn't actually have to pay for anything until you were ready to add it to your permanent access library. It was interesting to read in a Billboard post this morning from a Nashville writer named Glenn Peoples that the number of subscribers to Rhapsody has actually declined recently. Mm-hmm. And it frustrates me a little bit to keep reading that the subscription model is not working, that it's not finding its market, that people aren't buying into it. And in that sense, La La offered a really interesting alternative, because, in fact, you didn't have to pay anything for something that you might not use. You only paid for what you did use. That, I thought, was a really original iteration of the celestial jukebox concept. Now, the idea, let me just say clearly for our listenership, what the idea behind the celestial jukebox is, because once you have the basic idea, it can manifest in numerous ways. It's simply the idea that with everything moving into the cloud, the time is upon us when you will be able to hear whatever you want to hear, whenever you want to hear it, wherever you are. And then the rest of that is a little profane, so I can't finish the sentence.
Go for it.
But,
what time are we at where we can put the explicit?
The presumed model of what I've just described is the subscription service, where you pay a monthly fee and you have access to the entire library. And that's what Rhapsody does. I think that's what Napster is doing now. And they have had a very difficult time selling themselves to a marketplace that is, for the most part, conditioned on the concept of ownership. I have to own my music. Well, you don't really own the music. You own the right to listen to the music, and this is how it's delivered to you. On some plastic disc, you're paying for the plastic disc. So the subscription services aren't working because they haven't been able to make the case for that kind of access on a flat fee as opposed to the ownership that we're accustomed to paying for. La La threw an entirely different formula into the mix, and that you could listen to vast amounts of stuff and not really have to pay for anything until you wanted to hear it again. And at the point where you want to have this as part of your daily soundtrack, then you make a financial commitment. And even then, it was kind of nominal, because you were buying an album for a dime, or an album for a dollar, or a track for a dime. So it was an interesting transitional concept from the concept of ownership to the concept of the music being stored in the cloud, because you didn't have to shell out a monthly fee for something that you might not use during the month.
But we are seeing Rhapsody positioning themselves a little more aggressively now. They have started, you know, they've started some TV and print campaigns.
They've
reworked their pricing, and they've reworked their iPhone app so that there's some sort of download component to that as part of the $10 a month that they spend with that. I tested it out a few weeks ago, the older version of the app. I was a Rhapsody subscriber for years, and we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was $15 a month, but I could get to everything that I needed to listen to. But it was tied to my computer, even mm-hmm. though they did have that Listen Anywhere function, that there were thousands of MP3 players on which you could download your Rhapsody content and listen to it as much as you want. But it wasn't an iPod or it wasn't an iPhone. So now they do have this app. I haven't tested it out yet. I don't even know if it work with my first generation phone. So we'll see if Rhapsody is going to be able to position itself as a player in this, or if it's just going to be another run-up, and then they're going to fall back again. That's been the thing with Real Networks. They have throughout that company's lifetime, they have always kind of been on that bleeding edge, and then somebody else will come in and usurp them.
What do you guys think?
Well, iTunes could be the thing. I mean, I think that the dime a track, the free first listen, then a dime a track, is such an appealing entree to this universe of global storage in the cloud that it would behoove Apple, if they've got their smarts on, to apply that model, to give people the alternative.
It's easy to get your head around. It's pretty simple. And again, the mover software, if they can make it work, if they build that into the next version of iTunes, so that you can take the stuff that is non-commercial, bootlegs or unreleased stuff or whatever that they don't have licenses for, and and load that up into the cloud as well, so that you can have access to it from anywhere you go. That could be appealing to subscribers as well.
Here's what I think about that. I don't think they're going to let it happen. The 10 cents a song isn't going to happen. And I have a feeling that the labels are trying to push back against the La type of deal with a web streaming track and the Spotify type of deal, because there's no money in it for them. How often do you have to stream a song at 10 cents for life of the song to make any money?
Well, have we talked about that Lady Gaga statistic that came out of Spotify a couple of months ago where her track was streamed some millions of times and the net revenue was $168?
And I think the labels are wising up to this and looking at Apple is their biggest advocate but also the biggest thorn in their side, because they reduced the prices to what they wanted. Now this is their opportunity, saying, you know what? We'll let you do the web streaming, but we want you to charge $1.29. You have to buy the MP3, and then you get web streaming. What do you think about that?
I'm not going to buy it.
No, I wouldn't buy it either.
Yeah, I think...
And we're in that generation that, you know, is predisposed to... We understand the concept of music ownership. The generation that, the two generations that are following us, they certainly don't. I just saw the term micro generation somewhere today. I was like, no, quit slicing that up even further.
Yeah,
micro generation meaning somebody who was born, the week after you.
Yeah, that's right. That somebody's got a book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That sounds to me like yet another dying gasp of a rolled over dinosaur. That's not going to work. I'm not buying into that one.
But Apple's core business is to sell hardware. I really don't think they care much about the music anymore. Apps have taken over. They get 30% of cut for every app. They have control of it.
And Apple's core business is about to become advertising.
Yeah. And
mobile advertising.
So therefore, why would they care? As long as you keep buying MP3s and buying iPhones, and oh, by the way, you get a web version of iTunes, they don't care. I don't really think they care unless it drives their advertising model.
But they are still producing devices through which people consume content. So it behooves them, unless they are going to become labels themselves, unless it's going to be Apple Records,
which they can't.
They can't do that. Then it continues to behoove them to play ball with labels and now publishers and also movie studios and also whomever else is going to potentially line up to provide content on one of their devices. And granted, we're talking about one company here. There are, there are tons of Windows Mobile products out there. There are more people who are going to get into the tablet computer business, having seen the success of the iPad. So those content providers as well are going to have to continue to play nice with all these different platform providers.
We can speculate now how the iPad figures into this evolving ecosystem. And there's one detail that is also looming that figures into this discussion, and that is the pending arrival of the iPhone OS 4 that has a multitasking capability. one of the weaknesses that I experience with the iPad right now is, for example, I can't have Pandora playing in the background. If I want to go do something else with the iPad, Pandora stops. If I'm listening to the NPR app, which, by the way, is a terrific app, and I want to go do something else, NPR stops playing. That deficiency will be overcome with the next operating system, which I guess is coming out sometime early in the summer for the iPhone and later in the summer for the iPad. So the functionality of these devices changes when you have that multitasking capability. And that change in the functionality augurs for the existence or the possible existence of streaming audio, because you can have it running in the background. So I think that argues for Apple doing something of a streaming service. And how it is going to manifest in terms of the desirable components of La La, the free track of first time, the dime after that, harder to say. But I cannot for the life of me believe that there is not going to be some kind of streaming version of iTunes delivered along with this next operating system, because it makes so much sense to have it running in the background. Sure. It takes such great advantage, and this speaks to your point, Dave, it takes such a great advantage of the capabilities of the hardware that it ultimately sells more hardware. Look what you can do now. You can store all this music on the cloud, and you can listen to it from your iPad or your iPhone while you're doing other things with it.
But what does this also say about the relationship between the iPhone and AT&T? And granted, it's not a lot of data transfer to stream audio on a constant basis, but it's still there.
Now I must post to the show notes the article that was in, I think, Macworld last week that said, "Will the iPad crash AT&T's broadband network?"
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. Could be.
I don't know. I mean, you have however many tens of millions of iPhones out there, a million plus now iPads. If they are streaming audio on a fairly consistent basis with those constant connections, you know, is AT&T gonna hiccup? Are they ready for that kind of thing? Because when they announced the iPhone OS 4.0 software, that was the primary thing in the multitasking section that they talked about was audio access. That had to be a head nod towards AT&T and go, look, this is coming. It's, again, not a lot, but it will be significant.
Get out there and build some towers.
Exactly. Yeah. And we don't know that they're actually doing that right now.
But I think your point, Dave, about Apple being in the business of selling hardware, and I mean, it's kind of the reversal of the old King Gillette model, which I always sort of marvel at, because, you know, King Gillette was give away the razor handles and sell the blades.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple seems to be doing the opposite, and they're giving away the content or selling the content at cost in order to sell the devices. So if, in fact, that's going to be their model going forward, aside from what Lucas was saying about becoming an advertising company, which is entirely possible, if they're going to continue to provide the content in order to sell the devices, then the gravitation toward a streaming model to run in the background on the devices that they're going to have with the new operating system just makes perfect sense to me. That's how they will be able to sell more devices.
Well, let me throw another wrench in the discussion, or another point. What about, so if Apple's getting into advertising and they want to sell more hardware, and they realize that the per download, the pay per download is dying, what about the idea of a combination of the beautiful aspects of La La as iTunes Online, or whatever they call it, or iTunes.com, but this time the space isn't free? And this comes up to what I had brought up earlier in the week when I had sent you an email about a company called bitspace.at. And they are an HTML5 online music player. You sign up and you get space and you upload any of your music you want, and it's fully HTML5 compliant, meaning you can open it up on your iPhone, your iPad, and listen to your entire music, and it's bare bones. There's no suggestion, there's no social media, there's none of those things. Like, basic price for 10 gigabytes is €3.99 a month. So I'm assuming they're
That's not very much. I don't see that right off the bat. I do not see that being cost effective. 10 gigabytes is a fraction of my music library. €6, well, euros are falling rapidly, but that's almost $10. Mm-hmm. To only be able to store a fraction of my music collection, where what I've come to expect as the new model evolves is that, as with Rhapsody, I mean, just compare this to what's available already. For Rhapsody, you get access to the entire universe of recorded music in their library for $10 a month. So how is it cost effective to just store my 10 gigabytes of music for $10 a month?
And chances are their software is probably pretty kludgy. It's still...
You guys still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, you cut out, Lucas. Try again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, hang on. What I was saying is, chances are their software is still pretty kludgy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't... What? Oh, I'm trying to remember the other service I just tried to upload, you know, five... I can't remember who that is that was the Lala... opponent.
Substitute stand-in?
Yeah.
Well, you remember, you know, the famous story here is mp3tunes.com, Michael Robertson's operation.
That's mm-hmm. it. That's what I was...
Yeah, he got ahead of the game here, and boy, the labels just slammed him, and he's still got legal issues going with that. He was offering essentially what Lala was offering, where you could just prove that you own the CD, and then the service would provide access to the same recording from their servers, and the labels just jumped all over that.
Well, and his music locker software.
Yeah, there you go.
Was mm-hmm. abysmal. I was trying to use the. I was trying to upload just a handful of playlists, not anything more than like a couple of hundred megs, and get it synced up to my iPhone, and it was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. to try to deal with, and I deleted it before, you know, I played with it for maybe an hour and said, nope, too much. And
There's been some interesting commentary in the last few days about in the wake of the iPad. I've heard a couple of people say that the thing that Apple does so effectively as a corporation, as a marketing company, is they create markets that we didn't know were there. Mm-hmm. The iPad is a beautiful example of how they imagined a product, and just by imagining the product, or filling the need, I guess, a market showed up for it that we didn't know was a market that was there. And the same opportunity exists right now in this digital music space that we're talking about. That if some company, and Apple is the leading candidate, they've got all the pieces. If they were to assemble those pieces in the right way with their knack for doing things in a user-friendly and intuitive way, they will create a market that doesn't exist yet for what we're calling the celestial jukebox. And suddenly people will show up and go, well, of course this is the way to do it.
Okay, so...
And then the labels will all gasp their last breath.
Let's hope not. It's part of one of the foundations of Nashville, and after what we've been through, we need money. Come on, people, bring it on. So let's go into predictions. Might as well. Let me throw out a question, and you guys can say yes or no and pontificate if you'd like. But first of all, first prediction, is Apple just going to shut Lala down just to get rid of the competition? Yes or no?
No.
Lucas?
No.
As it gone, it,
no, kind of.
They're gonna shelve it. Gone.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the Lala as a brand is done.
Okay. Done. Next question: what do you think iTunes.com is going to pretty much be Lala reskinned, Paul?
I do. I believe that there will be a streaming music component of iTunes, much of which will draw on the infrastructure of Lala.com. How it's going to be delivered in terms of the consumer experience is much harder to predict, but I think there will be some formula for having access to the entire library, whether it's the iTunes library or the Lala library, without having to pay 99 cents a track to have access or ownership of only those tracks that you pay 99 cents a track for. I think at the very least the 99 cents a track barrier will be dissolved in this future iteration of iTunes that we're speculating about.
Lucas, iTunes.com, Lala reskinned?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Again, I think going back into that accounting mode of how do you divvy up the money? How do you divvy up the online pennies as opposed to the streaming pennies as opposed to the online dollar or the download dollar? I think this will be Apple's opportunity to start a subscription service through both the standalone app and the web-based, whatever you want to call it, version of iTunes.com. I think we will see the play once for free. I'm hoping we see that. But it's not going to have all the same sort of functionality that Lala, well, they didn't come to be known for that because obviously it didn't succeed on its own. So I think they will take bits and pieces of it, but I don't think it will all live in the same place. You know, I think some things will happen through the standalone application. Some things will happen through the phone and pad apps, and some things will happen online, but they're not all going to happen across all platforms.
So would you guys agree that when we shake the magic eight ball, it comes up saying unclear?
Oh, absolutely.
Of this, we are certain.
But again, and we've said this a number of times. If there was ever going to be a company that can make that idea work of a subscription, of a music subscription service, it's going to be Apple. They already have 25% of the marketplace. And again, it's a marketplace that has existed in other forms, and it usually doesn't take off and have that aha moment for the public until Apple gets involved. It was the same thing with digital audio players.
Uh-huh.
It's been the same thing with smartphones. It's right now in the midst of being that with tablet computing, and hopefully it can be that way with subscription music models.
Yeah.
Now, from a fidelity standpoint, from an audiophile standpoint, do we cringe because now we are going to be that much more dependent upon either mobile data connections or broadband connections from desktop machines? Yes. But for the casual music fan who wants to be able to get to what they like and hopefully find new stuff that they don't know about, it will be a much easier process than currently exists within those streaming subscription service models.
Okay. Well, I pretty much would have predicted what you guys were predicting, so I'm not even going to go there. I think we've worked this topic out pretty good. I'm afraid to go into a little bit more to the rights issues and how it affects the national music industry because we've pontificated it over and over and over again and kind of get in circles. And I don't know if I want to bring that up. Do I?
Not at
this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I say we wait, we see what they do, and then we'll be able to speak a little more certainly about what the impact is going to be.
Well, here's another prediction point. Time frame. When do you think, is it going to be the week after? Is it going to be WDC? Is it going to be, are they going to?
Now here's the question. Here's the question. Which will happen first? The iTunes streaming audio subscription service, or they cap the oil leak in the Gulf? Which will come first?
I predict iTunes.
Yes, yeah, you're probably right.
The way BP is fracking up.
Yes.
We're doomed, pretty much. We might as well be eating fish with oil on it right now.
So we may as well listen to all the good music we want while we go down.
Absolutely. All right.
Since we're going to be paying $4 a gallon for gas again. So.
Give me a soundtrack for this flaming wreck.
I have no words. But I do want to do one commercial, Lucas. So yes, would you help me along with this?
I will try.
All right. Again, our affiliate count. We are an affiliate of Audible.com, and previous episodes you have always heard me talk about what I'm listening to, because if you're a person that is commuting every morning and you just don't have time to read books, because, you know, sitting down and reading a book takes time, right?
So they tell me.
Do you read books?
Is that why I don't read more books?
Of course not. Of course I don't read books, because I'm a writer. I write them. No, I'm kidding.
Wow. So, well, for the person that's always on the go, audible.com, I highly recommend them. If you go to the nashvillefeed.com/audible, it'll automatically take you to audible.com, where you can sign up and download one book for free. One book for free. Average price of books about $14. So, sign up, get one book for free, and in 14 days. Hello, 14 days. You cancel, you get to keep the book. Walk away.
Walk away.
You walk away, and I can even read something from Audible that says, you know, we're your destination for the widest selection of digital audiobooks available for download. It works with the iPod. It works with your computer. It works with your iPad. It works with anything with an I in the front of it.
Or even an I in the middle of it, right? A Kindle?
It works with a Kindle.
Can take advantage of Audible technology?
I believe it can. Let me look. Compatible devices. That's not a very good commercial.
Well, it's a very good commercial, because now I'm tempted to go and try the Audible app for my iPad, because there are times when I just leave the iPad sitting in the kitchen or something while I'm poking around. I could just as well be listening to a book.
You know what's even the great thing about it? It's not even an Audible app. It's just, you just download it from your computer, automatically goes in your iTunes, and it syncs up with all your devices.
Well, I think it's time to try that.
I'll tell you, I've signed up for the premium account, which is I think it's like $22 a month. You get two books, two credits a month, and that'll cover about 99% of the books available. So I picked up a book, you don't even just get books. You can get magazines read to you, New York Times. And every morning I get a download of the New York Times top stories. And it's a 40-minute audio file that I can listen to on the way to work. So just go to nashvillefeed.com/audible and give it a try, because I highly recommend it, because I'm an actual subscriber.
So if we go through your channel and you get a little bit of credit for that?
We get a little bit of credit.
I will go through that channel tomorrow.
Yeah, just you can go to nashvillefeed.com/audible or click the ad on the front page of thenashvillefeed.com. So thank you everybody out there for clicking and giving Audible a try, because I recommend it and I use it. All right. Final segment, gentlemen. What we're consuming. Are we ready?
Absolutely.
So who wants to go first? Lucas, Paul, everybody's got something this week. So I'm Lucas, I'm very proud of you.
What'd I do?
You have what you're consuming this week ahead of time.
I do. Yes. Well, again, end of the semester. I do have grading left to do, but fortunately, again, here we go with the segues. a new record that hopefully I will kind of add to my list of things that I listen to while grading. The new record from the band The National, who I discovered a couple of years ago down in Austin during Austin City Limits Music Festival, tripping over my own tongue. Really enjoyed, you know, that's for somebody who is not a fan of Radiohead and Coldplay for the most part. They smack of a little bit of an Americanized version of that, but from what I've heard so far on this new record, which just came out today, called High Violet. It's a little deeper, a little more interesting. So again, they're a band out of New York via Ohio, two sets of brothers and a lead singer, kind of a droney little two guitar, bass, drum, keyboard kind of thing, but a combination of Americana and Britpop, and really pretty fascinating. Hopefully they will make their way around to Nashville shortly, and we'll get to see them here live. But the new record from The National called High Violet just came out today.
Excellent. I'll have to give them a try. Maybe I'll go on lala.com and check them out before it's gone.
Yeah, yes. Get it while you can.
Get it while it's hot.
Nah. Yeah. So, Paul, what are you consuming this week?
Well, I mentioned in the show notes a book that I was reading during the flood while I was pretty much marooned, called Rework. And it is by the guys who are the founders of 37signals.com, the company that brought you Basecamp and HiRise and other online business management services. They are Jason Fried and David Heinemeier Hansen. And Rework is a book that just takes a high-altitude view of the way we work and begins to rethink it for the digital era. You could make the argument that much of the way we think of work is steeped in sort of analog models and reasoning, and it's time that we rethought all that, and that's what the book Rework does, and I have found it to be a very intriguing and inspiring read.
Paul, it's an awesome book because it was my pick a few weeks ago. Did you get the idea for me?
No, Dave, I didn't. Oh. I hate it when that happens.
Oh, well, I didn't do it tonight. I did it a couple weeks ago, but it's an amazing book. I mean, it really makes you think on how work is changing and how everybody's so entrenched in it doing the way the things it's always been done that the way they bring it out, it's like, throw that away and the new world is here. Try something new.
Well, it's another argument for the idea that all of the fundamental foundations of how our society and our culture are structured are changing because the technology is changing.
Absolutely.
And I think one of these days I'll make the argument on my own blog about how you can make the argument that the reason we're seeing all this reactionary political discourse is because people just don't understand the world that they're in anymore, and they want to go back to the way it used to be. And so that speaks to this question of how we work is one of the fundamental things that we have come to expect works in a certain way that doesn't work that way anymore.
Absolutely. And it's only 170 minutes on Audible.
Well, there you go. I might add it to my Audible collection.
It's actually a very
short... I'll be starting in the morning.
Well,
on my iPad.
Thank you for trying it out. So onto my what I'm consuming. I am still reading or listening to on Audible My Buying In by Rob Walker. It's another marketing book on pretty much how we buy, like how we consume and how we're influenced by marketing and the different techniques that are being used by marketers today and what's working and how they're doing it. It's a good book. It's taking me a little bit longer than I thought because my other two items that I'm listening to, which have been taking time away from that, is a Buzz Out Loud podcast from CNET. That's daily, and it's a 40-minute podcast, which I've just been addicted to because it's humorous and it's up to date on all the current technology news that's happening. And then the other one is the 404 podcast, which labels himself as high-tech, low-brow. And that's a 30-minute podcast from CNET again that, if you want to laugh, it's pretty much like a morning show that talks about technology and farts. It's funny, as I can tell you. So, those are my picks, and that brings us to the end of the show. So, gentlemen, thank you very much. And, Paul, how can we find you on these things called the Internet?
Well, these days you can look me up at my new site, which is cohesionarts.com, where I'm commenting about much of the same things we talked about here tonight. On Twitter, I'm driver49.
Excellent. Lucas, where can we find you?
You can find me at my kind of old and desperately in need of a refresh site, www.largelandmammal.com. On Twitter, I am TuneInLucas, which I used frequently this past week as I was reaching out to people who needed, you know, help with things, you know, giant appliances needing moved out of homes. I would call and go, "Hey, it's Lucas Hendrickson. How can I help?" "Who?" "TuneInLucas." "Oh!" So there is use for these social network opportunities, even in the midst of tragedy and loss. So
yeah,
those are the two places. Yeah.
Well, we didn't even go into the Facebook privacy kerfuffle. That's probably for next time.
We're going to be kerfuffling over that for the rest of recorded internet history, likely.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it just gets worse and worse that every time they do some sort of structural change, they will change the privacy functions that you have to go back in and turn everything off again.
Well, this morning I went in and it popped up that said, do you want to link all your interests to these pages? And I hit refresh because I didn't want to do it, and it deleted all my interests.
Wow.
So therefore I went through and said, you know what, screw you, Facebook. So I unsubscribed from all the groups I liked, except for the Nashville Tech Feed on Facebook.
Of course.
And then I unliked and deleted all the bands and every other artist out there and everything. So my Facebook page is now completely blank. So F you, Facebook, because I will not give in to your crap anymore. And my rant is over.
Okay, let's take that up the next time.
Yes. So my name is David Baranja, and you can find me on Twitter at mdave. Not at Facebook anymore, because I will not be checking that account on a regular basis. Damn you, Facebook. You can find me at Nashville Tech Feed, where I'm going to try blogging again, because I have the urge after the Facebook kerfuffle this morning. And I guess that's a wrap, Lucas, huh?
Sounds like it to me.
I have a clever way to end the show this week.
Well, that's good, because we haven't for the last couple times.
Hey... Last week was good. Oh, real quick. Show notes are at nashvilletechfeed.com, where you can get all the show notes and the stuff that we didn't talk about or we didn't post. You can leave a voicemail at Lucas.
615-280-0505.
And if you leave a message, we will put it on the air.
Either we're going to put it on the air. I still like the idea of running it through the translation function of Google Voice and reading that.
Okay.
Seeing how completely off base that translation function is.
I like that idea. Also, you send an email to comments at nashvillefeed.com, and we'll read those. We got absolutely overflowing with zero last week, so you can see how popular we are. And we'll play the music out or something like that. So until next week, thanks, guys.
Hey, McElroy, is that your routine? Or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
Shut up, Michaels. That was textbook execution. Same scores I beat you with in Oslo.
Hey, I was on Quaaludes. I don't even remember Oslo. But I remember Boston. And that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
The Nashville Tech Feed is part of the Tech Podcast Network. You can find more information at techpodcast.com/Nashville Tech Feed.